Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. Many just graduated high school students are spending their summer getting ready for college. For too many others, college has never been part of the picture. Numbers tell us that most of those who do not continue their education face a future of limited opportunities and earning power. Clearly, it's in the economic interest of all of our communities to encourage a core of college grads. We're talking today about programs to do just that, encourage and inspire young people, often those from less affluent communities, to go on to college. Joining me in studio, Leslie Gill is the executive director of College Summit Missouri. It's a national organization whose St. Louis program helps primarily low-income students move on to college. Charlie Cooksley is the executive director of Inspire STL. Its mission is to put bright middle school students on the right track for college prep high schools and beyond. Ayant Young is a College Summit peer leader. She graduated from Central Visual and Performing Arts School and will be attending the University of Pennsylvania this fall. Ladies, thank you so much for being with us. Nice to see you.
Good afternoon. Thank you.
Ayant, let me just start with you. Pretty excited?
Yeah, really excited.
Yeah. Not too much time left, and you're all set and ready to go. Huh?
Yep. I leave July 19th for their pre-freshman program, so that's pretty soon.
Yeah, it is pretty soon. Well, congratulations to you for going to that prestigious university.
Thank you.
Now let's talk about some people who maybe should be going to college and may not be able to. And Leslie, let me start with you. What do you see as the main challenge for getting young people on the right track, on the right college path?
So in College Summit, we see a number of factors, primarily just lack of knowledge. Many of our students are first in family to apply to college and go on to college. So navigating the numerous steps to applying and selecting and finding the right fit and then getting there and having to face the affordability challenge. As we all know, college is a fairly costly endeavor these days, and many of our students don't come from families where they have prepared or planned or saved or created savings accounts for students to go on to college. So the biggest factor for us is lack of information and the affordability.
I just want to be clear, when you said at the outset that many of the students don't have the knowledge, what you meant was the knowledge to navigate the system and the complexities of making this journey.
That's correct. Yeah. Because they don't either have family members who've gone through the process, sure, and are able to model it for them, or they're in environments where college and college culture just is non-existent.
So this is where your organization basically comes in, is to help them with that process.
Yes, we are partners with many school districts here in the St. Louis metro area. We help school districts, principals, educators, superintendents create college culture in their school environments. And we work with a select group of rising 12th graders to have them be peer leaders and ambassadors in their schools for college culture. So for us, it is a really kind of focused and intentional process that starts often in ninth grade and then continues on through high school graduation and on through college persistence.
Well, Charlie, this is where your organization comes in, because you go after these young people at a somewhat younger age.
Yes, so Inspire STL was founded because we realized that there were these really bright middle school students who had unlimited potential and really powerful goals and ambitions for themselves, but their trajectory was not aligned to being college-going and college-prepared. So for us at the time, it was founded by four Teach for America Corps members. If you picture a classroom of 30 middle school students in the city, only around and then progress throughout their educational journey, only about 18 of them are projected to graduate from high school. Out of those 18, only about 5 or so are projected to attend a 5-year college, and then 4-year college, and then out of those 5, only about 2 will actually enter college prepared without having to take remedial courses. So for us, it was beyond being able to gain access to college, but we wanted students to be prepared for college. So we realized it was much greater than going to any high school and excelling at high school, but students need to excel in really rigorous environments that prepare them to not only attend college, but complete college.
Do you have any comparatives with regard to those numbers you just gave me for basically kids in inner city schools? How does that compare to kids in suburban schools or more affluent zip codes?
Yeah, so what we do is we compare the traditional educational trajectory to college prep high schools and that their trajectory, and it's an assortment of schools. So it could be public. We very rarely place scholars in public suburban schools, but often private and independent schools that just so happen to be in the suburbs. And so when you compare the trajectory that our scholars would have stayed on, the average ACT score is about a 16 compared to the schools we placed at. The average ACT score of these schools combined is around a 24. The average college acceptance and matriculation rate is over 90%. So it's a huge difference, and that's why we're so committed to placing them in college preparatory high school, so they have those similar stats.
You know, one thing I think of when I hear a discussion like this, and we talk about this often on this program, is the amount of brain power that is lost simply because young people come from the wrong part of town, if you will, have the wrong background, don't have the money, and no one's kind of pushing them along toward the kind of goals that you folks are talking about. You see it that way, Leslie?
Absolutely. I think, we're working in schools that are surrounded by poverty, and, our students are excelling, and they really are also accountability partners. The students, our peer leaders, are accountability partners for their other friends. So in College Summit, we like to say the most influential person in a 17-year-old's life is another 17-year-old. So we really do believe in developing young leaders and creating leadership opportunities for our peer leaders to mentor their peers and ensure that their peers are not just getting to college, but they're getting through college. So there's a cohort and a support system already designed for them to help them excel.
Ayant, that's you. We're just talking about you and the role that you play. How do you see that role?
I agree with Leslie. It is very important with the peer-to-peer connection, because even in my own school, after the College Summit experience, going back to school and working with kids that didn't participate in the workshop but are participating in the class, so you interact with them in your class, your College Summit class, and just talking to them about different college experiences and different colleges that they're looking at, because I feel like if a teenager has a certain potential, and just to go to a college just because you feel like, oh, I might get in or I'm going to get in, that's not enough. I feel like you should challenge yourself. So me going to the University of Pennsylvania, I kind of wanted to push the kids in my class to do better than what they just settled for and do better than what is just expected of them. So
what's your reaction to what I just said about a lot of brain power being lost? I'll bet you have friends who are smart as the Dickens, mm-hmm. and somehow are not going to be able to take advantage of that.
Partly, I think I feel like it's the school's fault, just because I know in my school, people want to take AP classes. And so they want to take them, but we don't have the AP classes that they want to take. And even a lot of rising seniors this year, they don't even have an AP class for them to take because they have taken all of them. And so I feel like that's kind of deteriorating them from reaching their full potential. And even now I know kids who are, like you said, smart as a whip, but they don't know how to use that because they have either been deemed as having a behavior problem or just because they're so smart to the point where they can't focus on the work that you give them because we have to slow it down for kids who can't get it.
And I bet you some of them drop out entirely.
Yeah, you know? Because they just get bored with the work and they just feel like, why am I here?
What kind of a path do you think you might have been on had you not gotten linked up with this organization?
I don't think I would be going to the prestige school that I'm going to now, because before College Summit, I just wanted to stay in the state, and the only college I had looked at was Missouri State University. And not saying anything is bad with that college, but I wanted to go to a college where my program was a top program. And so with the University of Pennsylvania, they have one of the top nursing schools. And I would have never even thought I would even get into that school until I talked with my college coaches at College Summit. And she told me, like, with your grades and your GPA and what you've done, you can go so much further than just staying in St. Louis.
Oh, that's so important, the counseling part of it. Yeah. Charlie, address, if you would, what Ayant was just talking about with regard to the schools. You work with schools, obviously, and the younger students. And the role that they play, I mean, how satisfied are you that the schools are doing their job?
So do you mean middle schools or high schools?
Well, both, any that you deal with.
So I don't know if I would necessarily say how satisfied I am, but I think it goes back to this community where we're all committed to a culture of high expectations. I think when we talk about a college-going culture, that starts with a culture of high expectations, whether it's coming from the staff and teachers, from your peers, from outside organizations like College Summit or Inspire STL. And I will say that our scholars who are coming, transitioning from middle school to high school, do struggle significantly. And I think it's just perhaps a lack of communication between middle schools and high schools with a deeper understanding of what high school rigor looks like, which prepares you for college rigor. But something we're doing to address that is we host a summer academy, which will also be 14 months beyond the summer academy, where our middle school scholars take high school level math, reading, writing, Spanish, and other classes to prepare them for that rigor. And so we realized that it's also beyond just the academic rigor when you go into an affluent high school and when you go into a affluent college, that there's the social emotional piece. There's adjusting to a school where not many people look like you and where your classmates might be pulling up in BMWs and Mercedes. So that's a whole cultural thing that we need to address starting in middle school that I think we can all do a better job at.
Leslie, you're nodding. You're buying this entirely.
Absolutely. I would just add, related to sort of academic achievement, we often see students who, you know, have great potential and interest in going on to pursue a higher education, but just aren't academically prepared. So in College Summit, we want everyone to have a post-secondary plan. So for some, that's high school to career. And for others, it's maybe, you know, a pit stop along the way at a community college to help them prepare for a four-year institution. But for us, with the students that we work with, which is all students, so we're not a selective program. We do have a select group of students who work with us during the summer. But during our credit-bearing course during the school year, we work with all students to make sure that they have a post-secondary plan. So Ayant mentioned that, you know, some of her classmates perhaps, you know, weren't sure what they would do. And so we hope that College Summit helps them come up with a plan.
Do you find the students or do they find you?
So it's both and. We actually work with counselors and educators in schools to identify academically mid-tier students who have extreme leadership potential, and we invite them to a summer writing workshop the summer before their 12th grade year. So we actually just had our first summer writing workshop at Washington University this past weekend. 55 young people from St. Louis Public Schools who joined us on a journey of writing their personal statements for college. They completed a college application. They learned about financial aid and grant opportunities to pay for college. And so those are students that we select for our summer program. But then during the school year, our credit-bearing course is for all students. Right. And so that's built into their schedule, and everyone participates.
Charlie, how about you and your organization?
So we are a startup, so we're 3 years old right now. At this point, we do more so find the student. We partner with St. Louis Public Schools District, with charter middle schools like KIPP and Premier Academy. And through this process, the school staff and faculty identify their highest potential students who are underserved and particularly will be the first person in their family to graduate from a four-year college. And then from there, we do have a rigorous application process. So we look at their report cards, we look at teacher recs, we look at parental engagement. And the reason we do this is because our ultimate vision is to create the next generation of leaders. So beyond them attending college and completing college, we want them to commit to a lifestyle of leadership where if a scholar says, I want to become an architect, they're making a commitment to figure out how to provide perhaps low-income or mixed-income housing in North City. Or if someone wants to become a doctor, they're exploring how do I provide affordable health care opportunities to other communities.
I notice you use the term scholar a lot, and it occurs to me that that's very intentional.
So, yes, we only identify our group of students as scholars, and that's because we're really committed to holding them to high expectations and them taking ownership of being very focused on their academics and very focused on leadership and just being the best that they can be.
Ayant, did you find College Summit or did it find you?
It was kind of both, because the year before I even found out about College Summit, the seniors prior to me, they told me about College Summit. And when they found out that I was being recruited for it, they told me even more about it. So it was kind of both. And because when they told me about it, I kind of got it interested in it and was like, oh, well, maybe this is kind of for me. So
there's that peer thing once again, right?
Yeah.
Communicating with your pals. I have to take a break. Let's do that now. We're talking about going on to college, and primarily going on to college for people who come from what we might call disadvantaged backgrounds, not affluent backgrounds, to be absolutely precise about it, and the opportunities they have to go on to college. With me in studio is Leslie Gill, who is Executive Director of College Summit Missouri, Charlie Cooksley, Executive Director of Inspire STL, and also with me in studio is Aon Young, a College Summit peer leader, by the way, who will be attending the University of Pennsylvania this fall. Back to continue our conversation, we'd like to bring you into it, too. If you'd like to discuss programs to help disadvantaged kids go to college, maybe you have been one of them, maybe you've been through one of these programs or involved with one of these programs, let us know at 382-8255, that's 382-TALK. You can send us an email at talk@stlpublicradio.org. Or send us a tweet at STL on Air. Back with our guests in just a moment. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio 90.7 KWMU. Hello again and welcome back as we continue our conversation about moving on to college, primarily for economically disadvantaged young people. There are programs available to help them find that path to go on to college and higher education and to bigger and better paychecks down the line, because that's one of the advantages of doing that. But before we continue the conversation, here are some of the stories our St. Louis Public Radio newsroom is following today. The Ferguson-Florissant School District announced today that it will no longer accept transfer students from Normandy. Ferguson-Florissant School Board voted unanimously to uphold a district policy prohibiting non-resident students from enrolling in the district, except under certain provisions. And Governor Pat Quinn has used his line item veto power today to make minor cuts to a $35.7 billion state budget plan he has called incomplete. Lawmakers passed the spending plan for the fiscal year that begins tomorrow after Democratic leaders couldn't find enough votes to extend Illinois' temporary income tax increase. You can find out more about these and other stories this afternoon on St. Louis Public Radio and throughout the day at stlpublicradio.org. Now back to our guests, and Leslie, I'm going to turn to you because I saw your reaction to the story that I just read about Ferguson-Florissant no longer accepting Normandy students. You're bothered by that. I can tell just by the way you reacted.
Yes, I am actually. And, you know, there's obviously a trend that several school districts are following kind of the same decision. And, you know, I want students to have great options for education, and I want parents to have choice. I believe in neighborhood schools, and Normandy is actually one of our school partners, and their students are phenomenal. But, you know, it just disturbs me when adults make decisions like that that impact children's lives.
Well, as you indicated, College Summit is involved with the Normandy School District. And I was going to get to this eventually anyway, but let's do it now. This whole turmoil in Normandy at the present time, what do you think this is doing to young people in that district's chances to go on to college?
So, ironically, we found that this year our students from Normandy were excelling in all of their key milestones for college persistence and college completion. So creating a post-secondary plan, applying to college, taking the ACT or SAT, completing their financial aid forms. So our Normandy students were actually about 98%. In the 98th percentile for completion of these key milestones compared to their counterparts across the metro area that were about 85%. So I think it was motivating for Normandy students, given all the turmoil and all of the chaos. I think it just made them excel more and really helped them focus on what's next.
You know, I've always thought throughout this entire Normandy process that the kids have to get the credit.
Absolutely.
They've gone on to the other districts. You know, everybody was predicting all sorts of problems. The problems didn't happen. The kids didn't let it happen, and they should be given an awful lot of credit.
Don, I always say it's never the kids, it's always the adults.
Well, I think you're onto something there, Leslie. Charlie, you have any thoughts about that part of it before we move on to some other things?
No, I totally agree with what Leslie said. And that's awesome to hear that the students in College Summit are persisting despite all the stuff they're going through with the Normandy controversy.
Yeah, so much indecisiveness right now in terms of what's going to happen. That's not the right word, but people just don't know what's going to be the next step. Anything you want to add to that before we move on, Ayan?
No, I agree with both Leslie and Charlie about that.
Okay. Before I go to the phones, we have a number of calls. One of the things I want to be sure that we talk about is what is at stake here. I had mentioned earlier on that there is an economic factor here. Let me start with you, Charlie. What is at stake for these young people?
So what's at stake? I think the question is, I think of it, or Inspired thinks of it from the standpoint of what is at stake for the young people that we serve, and also what is at stake for our community. So what's at stake for our the group of scholars we serve is just, if they don't have these opportunities, a lifetime of just lack of access to things that they deserve. And so that means potentially not graduating from high school, which means they will probably not go on to college. And that not only allows the cycle of poverty to persist, but that also just limits their opportunity to what they see in the world and what's bigger and better out there and how they see themselves in the world. And really, when it comes to Inspire, it's about what's at stake when students are not prepared to become the next generation of leaders. And we think about our communities, especially in the city, when people who come from the community are empowered to have the educational opportunities and leadership opportunities to become the future leaders of their communities, then that's a pretty discouraging and not very hopeful future for the city of St. Louis and other surrounding communities. So I think it's a matter of figuring out and thinking about, like, what are we willing to sacrifice if we don't educate these students? And I think there's a lot on the line in every arena you can think of, from health to business to education to housing. So, yes.
Leslie, this is huge.
Yeah, I think it's generational poverty, right? So we know that education is a key factor in breaking generational poverty. And so we absolutely want to see more students go to and through college so that our communities are safer. We're more economically diverse, and you know, we're a stronger, safer community in the future. So for us, it's about breaking that cycle of generational poverty, and education is the key.
And I'm sure that this is a motivating factor for you, recognizing early on that you can do a lot better financially, economically, by continuing your education.
Yes. With the whole generational poverty thing, I think that's very important with the education, because a lot of people, since their parents don't or didn't go to college, or maybe they didn't go to a full university, or maybe they didn't finish, whatever the case may be, they don't know how to deal with college. And I know that was a key part in my family. My aunts and uncles, they didn't know how to finance their college education, so they had to drop out. And so that's like a never-ending cycle. And so if kids find out about how to finance for education and how to deal with the problems that surface when you're in your college experience, and they find that out through College Summit and Inspire SCL, then it kind of stops that cycle, and that's really important for our future.
You know, we've done many programs over the course of the last year on a survey that was done here locally called For the Sake of All. And basically what it did was look at health issues in poor communities. And what they discovered, and it relates to what we're talking about here, what they discovered is that people who live in the, quote, wrong zip code, the impoverished areas of our community, live an average of 18 fewer years than people from affluent zip codes. I mean, when we think about that and think about what it means to get out of that cycle, it's a no-brainer. It has to happen. It has to happen. Let's go to the phones. And I want to get our audience into the conversation. We'll start with Kathleen calling from St. Louis. Kathleen, go ahead.
I just want to tell these guys I really appreciate that they're helping kids now. My husband and I took in a job that was homeless after his mother died in a house fire set by her drug dealer, because she hadn't paid up. and several people were killed. He wasn't there at the time, so he survived. Somehow or another, he fell between the cracks, and DFS didn't pick him up and put him in a foster home. He was just 16 and a senior in high school in St. Louis Public Schools. He came to live with us. He was getting A's and B's. We'd go to his teacher conferences, and how wonderful he was. But the quality of the work he was doing wasn't as high as my middle school child was doing in a private school. And we just were kind of appalled, couldn't get him into a four-year college. Now, this is a kid who even received President Bush's 1,000 Points of Light Award for his service. And I called colleges and begged, told them about his service, told them about his leadership, knew that he'd have to take some remedial classes at that point, but couldn't get him in. Fortunately, he figured out a way, and he went to the Army and worked for a while, and now he's teaching at Missouri Baptist College. But this kid would have been lost, and we didn't know how to help him. I'm just appalled that kids can get A's and B's and can't get into college.
Kathleen, thank you so much for the call. You're kind of pointing toward Ayant. How so?
Well, I think Ayant can probably attest to this, and she mentioned it related to, you know, her school not offering enough AP courses.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, it is challenging, and academic rigor is an important factor that, unfortunately, many of our urban schools are missing and don't offer. And so Kathleen is absolutely right. You can have a student who is getting good grades in their school environment, but is not the rigor that colleges and universities require. For example, you know, foreign language. Most colleges and universities want to see some at least 2 years of foreign language, and that's not a mandatory requirement for all high schools in the state of Missouri.
So yeah. What are you finding with regard to these young people actually getting into the colleges that they want? Is it it's not a slam dunk?
It isn't, and that's why we often want to work with students to identify a post-secondary plan. So for some, a two-year college straight out of high school is a really good option. It helps them work on some of those remedial skills that they need to have mastered going into a four-year institution, and it's affordable. So it's a very good option. The military is a great option. High school to career, trades, all of those are great options. And for us, we want everyone to have a plan, and for some, like Ayant, it's a four-year plan at an Ivy League school. So there's a very diverse set of options out there.
I'm glad you mentioned the community colleges, because they play a significant role, and even more so now because of the affordability. Mm-hmm. Anything to add to that, Sean?
I would just say that's really why Inspires Hill was founded, because we realized that we needed to proactively address this issue. So we literally have scholars right now at St. Louis University in between their 7th and 8th grade year starting their first year of Spanish, and ideally they'll be taking a foreign language for the duration of middle school and high school to address those academic rigorous experiences they need to have to persist through college.
And your friends, any of your friends going to community college?
Yes, a lot of them actually are, because they participated in the A-plus program, which is you do community service in school, and they give you 2 free years at the community college. And so that's what they're using for the community college.
Let's take another call. Mark is joining us from St. Louis. Go ahead, Mark. You're on the air.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. I just want to say a couple things. First of all, I'm encouraged to hear all that's being talked about. I am one of those former impoverished, grew up welfare, food stamps, the projects, environment, but there was a program called Inroads that helped to identify promising students that told us about things like engineering and partnered us up with corporations. That was the vehicle by which that gave me a chance to go to school. I had not heard of an engineer until my high school counselor mentioned something about engineering and introduced me to Inroads. I came out of the Kansas City program and was one of the first in my family to go to college and finish, and others have since done that. So I can appreciate what you're saying. And now I have raised my kids such that while I did not know I was going to college, that's all they've known is that you're going to college right out of high school. So it does involve breaking that chain. It is generational. So your program, I wonder how it compares and contrasts to something like En-ROADS, and I'd like to find out how to help. So that's one statement I want to make. The other thing I want to say is I think the Normandy situation is shameful. It's shameful to the it's a shameful situation to the system. Not the kids, but the administrators, the system, the whole educational system, including the parents, that allow that to happen, because we have to recognize education is, we have to make that an oasis in our communities. That you might be from a broken home background or what have you, but let's put you in an environment where you do have a chance to get something that you can do, then leverage your future with. And my kids do not know the poverty that I knew because of the educational difference. That was the difference for me. And I did have a parent who cared about, although we were in those impoverished neighborhoods, cared about our grades to where she motivated us. And we got in the right situation where things worked out.
Mark, I'm going to stop you there because our time is a consideration here, and I want to get some response. Leslie, I think that we struck a chord with Mark. Don't you?
I do. And Mark, thank you for your call. And I actually am a big fan of the En-ROADS program and, would encourage young people to get involved in En-ROADS and College Summit and Inspire STL. There are tons of options out there. College Bound is another program that, we're all familiar with. But there are lots of options out there for students who, are motivated and want to succeed, or those who don't know what the options are. So I appreciate your En-ROADS comment. I would also like to respond to the how can you help. We actually do a summer workshop for rising 12th graders, and it's a college immersion experience. Ayant got her first visit to Washington University through this College Summit summer workshop, and we do need volunteers. So it's 4 days on a college campus helping students kind of navigate the college process. If you're interested, you can call our office at 345-2628.
We'll get all that information on our website as well. 345-2628. What is En-ROADS, Charlie? Do you know?
So
how is it different from what we're talking about?
So from my understanding, En-ROADS is really committed to providing low-income students of color with access and exposure to business and STEM-based career opportunities. So they link students, usually at the high school level, with internships with companies like Boeing or Monsanto or Enterprise, so that they can start to explore what career options they should pursue post-college. And I think they participate in those internships from high school throughout college, if I'm not mistaken.
All right. Well, now we know a little bit more about En-ROADS as well as
I hope I represented them accurately.
Well, if not, we'll probably get a call. We have to take another break. We'll do that now. You just heard from Charlie Cooksley, the executive director of Inspire STL. Also with me in studio is Leslie Gill, director of College Summit Missouri. And we have with us in studio as well Ayant Young, a College Summit peer leader going to the University of Pennsylvania this fall. We'll come back, take more calls in just a moment. Stay with us. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Hello again, and welcome back as we continue our conversation about the desirability of young people continuing on to college. We had an email come in from Sean during that break here, and we had a chance just to start to talk about it, but let's do it on the air. Sean basically is saying he's concerned about all the emphasis on school system about sending kids to college and less to trade schools, and he feels that that should certainly be one of the options. And options, Charlie, is a word that you used several times already today.
Yes, and I totally agree that a four-year college plan is not necessarily the best option for everyone, but something I will say is that we should have a culture in this region, in all regions, where every student has the option to go into a four-year college. They may not choose that path, but they should still have that right and be prepared for that journey.
That's Leslie. Go ahead.
Yeah, and in College Summit, as I've mentioned, we really work with students to create a post-secondary plan. So we fully realize that not every student will be college capable. And we encourage military, we encourage high school to career. And we actually have one of our summer writing workshops on the campus of Rankin Technical College. So that is also a great option for many of our students and an option that many of our students pursue.
The population that we're talking about, and we talk about options, is, yes, options are important because otherwise they hit a brick wall when they're 18 years old, if not before.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Anything to add, Ayan?
Just with the whole technical college, I agree with that. And me coming from the College Summit point of view of it, with the College Summit peer leadership group, you have your college coaches. And when they look at everything that you have to offer and everything like your grades, what you've done so far, they might tell you a four-year program might not be for you. And so with the whole options thing, that is very important. And I agree, a four-year college is not for everyone. So to have technical colleges and trade schools there, it's good.
You know, when I was growing up, which is admittedly a long time ago, we used to have courses in school that could help people decide if maybe they wanted to go off in a different direction. We had printing courses. We had home economic courses. We had woodworking courses. I don't think they're doing that anymore.
No.
And actually, in some of our St. Louis public schools, they do have career and technical education courses. And so that is that track for students who might be interested in auto mechanics or that track for the student who is interested in early child care. So I know Roosevelt High School actually has a really strong early child care program for students who can kind of learn those skills in high school and move straight from high school to career.
You can make a pretty good living as a tradesperson these days.
Absolutely.
Be it plumber, bricklayer, or what have you, auto mechanic, what have you.
Electrician.
You can earn a living.
Yes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Back to the phones. We'll bring in Scott calling from Chesterfield. Go ahead, Scott.
Yeah, you just had a thing on NPR about how the University of Phoenix has been ripping off veterans, and I suspect they're ripping off non-veterans too, but, you know, it's because they're not regulated properly, and, you know, it's that unregulated free enterprise capitalism at work, you know, it has fine print, and I wish someone would tell the state legislature that. Although they're not listening.
All right, Scott, thanks very much for the call. Yes, that I don't know if you heard the piece on NPR on the University of Phoenix, but it was pretty damaging, I think, to the institution.
Yeah, I could just add that actually Dr. Adams, who's the superintendent of St. Louis Public Schools, does not allow for-profit institutions to market to St. Louis Public School students. So that is a decision that he's made and one that we support as a partner in.
You're on
Same
board with
here.
That, Charlie.
Yes.
Charlie. Okay. Another phone call. Tina joins us from Maplewood. Go ahead, Tina.
Hi. I have a couple of comments. I was talking to a young high school student who grew up in Norris County, African-American young woman, and she is now attending Rosati Kane and doing very well. And I asked her what she thought the problem with the quality of education was in North County, and she and North St. Louis, and she said she thought it was lack of respect for education. And I was just wondering how can that be addressed if there, you know, if anything, you know, specific is being done to address that.
Tina, who is showing the lack of respect for education? Is it the students,
the
parents?
She was referring to the students, had a lack of respect for education.
All right.
And, you know, that was coming from a high school student who was there and left to go to Rosati Kane. So that's one comment. And real quick, just one other comment is that something else that I know is that the Catholic schools and many private schools, their grades are 10 points higher than the public schools. In other words, a 69 or below is an F. And I was wondering if, you know, maybe putting that into some of the public schools or at least offering the students an option of, you know, being in like an accelerated program like that or more rigorous program, you know, offered at the public schools, if that might help to prepare them better for college.
Okay, well, thank you for the call. Let's take the first question first. Now, I'll turn to our former high school student, Ayant, with regard to a lack of respect. Do you think that's accurate?
I think that's accurate to an extent. I also feel, since I'm coming from a visual performing arts school, I feel like there are different ways to reach different students. And so if you don't find that certain way to reach that student, you're going to lose them, and they're going to not have respect for education because they don't feel like education is for them. And with me going to that school, different students have different interests. And so you have to find that interest and kind of see how what you're teaching leads to that interest. So I feel like it is a lack of respect, and maybe it's because they have never been taught that education is a very important key part of your life.
Some of that may come from the home as well, the upbringing. We've talked about families who have no background, so it's an unknown world to them. Charlie? Yeah.
I have a few thoughts on that. So I think when we talk about a lack of respect by the students, as adults, we have to start taking ownership of what type of environment and culture are we creating that kind of informs how students react to their educational journey. So it really starts a foundational mindset and commitment we have to have as adults is just a relentless belief in our students that we're serving and the mindset that we're serving them to because they deserve a quality education and we won't lower our expectations. So I think it's a little disheartening to hear that there's a lack that we are saying that students don't respect their education because I think students might not respect their education because they haven't been taught to respect it or they don't have people believing in them and encouraging that their education is the right thing to value.
Right. Leslie, any thoughts you have on this? Shall we move along?
Just happy to hear that it was a Rosati Kane student who said that because that's my alma mater. So.
All right. Well, good. Yeah. Back to the phones and Ron. Ron, go ahead. You're on the air.
Yes, I was calling. I work with the National Society of Black Engineers, NSBE, and we try to help students prepare for college to go into the STEM fields. We've had over 600 young people go into the STEM fields in the last 18 areas, and one of the things that I found is most important is to have the support of the parents. You know, the parents are there guiding the kids and telling them what's right and what's wrong and to be respectful of the people that are trying to help them. It works very well. And until we get to a school system where the administrators and the teachers have the utmost authority to run that institution, many of these schools and failing school districts will continue to fail. And my favorite quote is, there are no failing school districts where parents are involved in math.
Ron, thank you so much. Thank you so much for the call. Ayan, what sort of support do you have at home? Have you had at home for your path here?
Well, my family, we are a close family. And so when they found out that I was thinking about going off to school, they were very supportive. And my mom is a key part in my decision to go there, even though she told me, you're getting older, you're going to have to make the decision by yourself. But I think just having her support and having her support throughout my whole entire life and her instilling in me that education is important because I've seen her go to school and take care of me and work. So I know that education is very important. So just having my mom instill that in me at a young age, I think that's really helped me progress.
Ron just reinforces the point we've been making throughout the program, hasn't he? We'll take one more call here. Chantel is on the line. Go ahead, Chantel.
Hi, thanks for taking my call and for hosting this program.
Sure.
It's a great topic. I wanted to just let listeners know that as far as your reference to high school education courses, there are two high schools in St. Louis County for students who attend county high schools that offer career and technical electives as a part of the high school experience during the junior and senior year. Students come to our campus to earn elective credit. They earn articulated credit through St. Louis Community College as well as other institutions and can get a jump start on career and technical courses in auto and childcare and cosmetology and healthcare. Students can earn certifications and all kinds of things. And again, it opens up that idea of what are our options after we graduate? We try to give students an opportunity to really explore those in-depth and real-world environments. They have internship opportunities, and the goal is, again, to get them graduating with a really solid idea of what they enjoy, what kind of career paths they might want to pursue, and what education is required of them after graduation in order to realize those dreams.
What is your program, Chantel?
We are career and technical education in St. Louis. We have two high schools, South Tech High School and North Tech High School.
All righty. Well, we thank you so much for the phone call. There you go. There are opportunities out there. Only a couple of minutes remaining, and we haven't really talked, although we've alluded to it once or twice, the elephant in the room, that being what it costs to go to college. It's a very expensive proposition. How do you deal with that part of it? Leslie, I'll start with you.
So, Don, we actually spend quite a bit of time with our students and their parents talking about affordability, finding the right match, both in terms of academic and social fit, but also in terms of affordability. So, you know, we want students to go to school, get an education, and not have to turn around and leave because they get to the doorstep and they're $500 short. So we really want families to be aware of what it costs, what's the true cost of college, what you need to be prepared for once you get there, and how to ensure that your students stay. So a lot of time on financial aid awareness. I'm sure Ayant can talk about the scholarship process and wanting to make sure that students are aware of all of the options.
And Charlie, do you get started with them at the middle school level to make them aware of what's ahead financially?
Well, it's interesting because we deal with all of this from the middle school to high school level because our scholars attend tuition-based high school. So we're helping them complete financial aid applications. We're helping them work through budgets. We're helping families advocate for enough funding to pay for their high school-based educations. So a lot of the experiences they have in high school prepare them for that same experience when transitioning to college.
Well, let me bring the subject of finances up to you. What's your situation? Scholarships, I hope.
Yeah, actually not. I got two different scholarships, but I'm actually going to the University of Pennsylvania in no debt. I have to pay nothing. And that's just because of the amount of financial aid they give. And that's why I'm trying to instill in the rising seniors now, don't be afraid to branch off to these Ivy League schools. They want a lot of diversity. They want a lot of different cultures there. And so if you are making the grades to go there, why not apply? Because I didn't think I would be able to afford to go there, but I am, because they're giving me enough financial aid just based off of the type of person I am, grades I've made, what I've done so far. And so that's really big. And then with the College Summit class, you are able to find scholarships. They have scholarships available for you. And it gives you a handle on your finances.
What does it cost to go to the University of Pennsylvania for a year?
$64,000 about.
Holy mackerel.
So, yeah.
What a stumbling block that is. I had an email from Scott today on Facebook, actually, wrote, "Those that make the grade can make it with plenty of scholarship and aid money out there for application." Is that right? Is there plenty of it out there for $64,000 a year?
Plenty might be a stretch. I mean, there's never enough, but they're definitely are resources out there for students who are motivated, have the grades, have excelled academically, and for parents as well who, you know, want to see that their students persist and succeed.
And Ayant makes a very interesting point that diversity is a very important issue in many institutions, not just Ivy League colleges, many of them, Charlie. Is that correct?
Yes, definitely. We actually went to New York for a conference. There's a similar nonprofit, but they're 35 years older in New York called Prep for Prep. And they have a fair where the nonprofit's set up and the universities come around to you. And there are all the Ivy Leagues, just the top universities in the country, and they're starving for students like ours who are low income and really high potential. And they were just throwing all types of opportunities out to me about financial support.
Well, that's one of the most encouraging things that I've heard during the course of this program, is the fact that after all the other things that have been done and the hard work to establish the good grades and work and plan and all the rest of it, that you don't run into that wall of $64,000 a year. I'm sure you're grateful for that, Ayant, are you not?
Yes, very grateful.
You want to leave us with a final thought? I'll start with you, Charlie. We have about a minute left.
I would just like to say thank you for having me on today, and it's been a complete honor to speak to you and with the other panelists. And I would just encourage everyone to check out more about Inspire STL. We're committed to providing really high potential middle school students with access to a quality college prep education. And I encourage everyone to maintain high expectations for anyone, regardless of their zip code and socioeconomic background.
And very quickly, Leslie.
I ditto what Charlie said and would welcome you to volunteer with College Summit, collegesummit.org, or you can call our office and participate in one of our summer workshops.
We'll put contact information on our website and links to your websites at stlpublicradio.org. Ayan, congratulations to you for a nice program here today, and also for your future. It looks very, very bright from here.
Thank you.
Wish you very well at the University of Pennsylvania. Thank you all for being with us, Leslie Gill, Charlie Cooksley, and Ayan Young. Tomorrow in St. Louis on the Air, we'll talk about the decline of those affiliated with the Catholic Church, especially so here in St. Louis. Archived versions of past St. Louis on the Air programs are available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org. St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Thank you so much for listening. I'm Don Marsh.